Amen. So guys, it seems like all week, God has been giving me opportunity after opportunity. I believe maybe it's in preparation for this message, to deal with the difference between real voices, the real voice of God, the real truth from His Word, and false voices. People who are living in a lot of pain. People who are living in times and in situations where they're hearing things, they're feeling things, and they don't know if it's God, they don't know what's going on. Guys, we're dealing, as we go through the book of Daniel, we're dealing with Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three other guys and others who want to follow God, who want to move forward. And as a result, they have to spend time quietly before God. And today, there is no exception. And we're only going to be reading for time's sake. It's quite a few verses, Daniel 2, 1 through 49. So we're going to be taking chunks of it, and I'll be sharing with you some of the gaps that we leave out. But I just really pray that as we come to it, we would come to it knowing that God is powerful, that He speaks clearly, but also that there is a spiritual world where there is the enemy of God. And I know this is uncomfortable for us to talk about, it's uncomfortable for us to even deal with, and it's not something we should focus on. The evil, that is. When we were missionaries in Uganda, one of the things that stood out to me was not only sometimes as we had different situations happen, sometimes there were situations where we got to look behind the curtain a little bit. We got to see into the heart and mind of a witch doctor of what was going on, and realizing that the ones that the people all in the community who thought controlled the spirits, the witch doctors themselves were in fact in fear of the spirits that they used to wield power and have authority and get more stuff from, but they lived in fear. Another thing that stood out to me from that was the enemy has power, but our God is victorious. But if I try and come against the enemy in my strength, I'm undone. I'll never forget when we were on Vashon Island serving as a youth pastor there, and as I was serving as youth pastor, and the circles with the stars were put on the base of the church by the Church of Satan, and we would know that the prayers were against us and that they were focused on us. Guys, the battle is real. The battle is real. And we have to be prepared for the battle. Daniel 2, starting in verse 1. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. Anybody ever have dreams? I tell you, I have this one dream. And it's often when a light is left on. But I have this one dream where everything's really bright and I can't see. And it was this reoccurring dream. I've probably had it at least 30 times, probably more. The exact same dream. And every time I'm in that dream, have you ever had a dream, whether it's repeating or not, where it feels so real and you're not sure when you wake up? Okay, that was a dream, right? That was a dream. But there's this one dream where as I'm in this battle situation, And we're firing against the enemy. And I've got my oldest brother on one side and my father on the other. And we're shooting and we're shooting. And my father has shot and my brother has shot. And they're not killed. And I put one over one shoulder and one over the other shoulder. And I'm shot like 10 times as I'm going through. They're shot once and I'm carrying them, getting shot 10 times. So maybe it's a complex that I'm dealing with, but I don't know.
You should be
done. And it's so bright and I can't see very well. And I'm just trying to get forward and move forward to safety. And I'm just thinking, I've got to get my family. I've got to get my dad and my brother to safety. They've been wounded. I've had many thoughts about what that dream might mean. And at different times, I've had different ideas. But I know one thing. When somebody is given the gift from God of dreams, of interpreting dream, as Daniel does, and it's a gift from the Lord, they are right 100. If it's from the Lord, they are right 100% of the time. Not sometimes. Guys, I want to be careful. There are. You can go to meetings. You can go to people who will read cards, who will do things, and it is evil. Because it is seeking a power that is not God's power, but a power that is evil and powerful for direction. And when we do that, we open ourselves up. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His spirit was troubled, and his sleep left him. Then the king commanded that the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans, and be summoned to tell the king his dreams. So they came in and stood before the king. Now, usually when you're summoned before the king, or usually as people who come and come to interpret, they get to hear the dream first, right? And if you hear the dream, now if you tell me a story, I can give you a lot of different meanings of a story. So they came in and stood before the king, and the king said to them, "I had a dream, and my spirit is troubled now. And my spirit is troubled to know the dream." Then the Chaldeans said to the king in Aramaic, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation." The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, "The word from me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you shall be torn limb from limb, and your houses shall be laid in ruins. But if you show the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and its interpretation." Whew! No small order. I had a dream. Well, tell me the dream and we can interpret it. No, I want you to tell me what I dreamed and then interpret it for me. And if you don't, not only will I kill you, and I'm talking rip you to shreds, I will make it as painful, but I'll come at your homes. I'll come to your families. Everything you know is going to be gone. The guys who had the power, the guys, they are rendered powerless. They are rendered powerless. It's a terrifying thing to be in that kind of a situation. The request, Daniel learns that later, that he and his, because Daniel didn't hear about that, but he hears later, that he and his three friends and all the others who are there before the king to give him direction. Daniel learns that all of them will be executed. And so Daniel asks for a little bit more time. And as he asked for a little time, we pick up the story in Daniel 17. Then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. That's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. You see, Daniel knows one thing. When you're in a situation that seems impossible, what do you need to do? You need to pray. You also need to get together with friends and pray. You need to get together with other believers and be on your knees together before God. Guys, they're in a life and death situation. This is not just, they will be killed. Not only they, but many people will be killed if God doesn't show up. Have you ever been in a life or death situation? I know some of you have come and you faced cancer, and the doctor has said to you, "I'm sorry. We've got these things that we can do. We'll see. I don't know." Many of you have come to your church family and you've been prayed for. Anybody here have a... Raise your hand if God's ministered to you in the area of a physical healing, of a blessing physically, where you needed help. And God ministered. See, when it's life and death on the line, when there's big things that you're dealing with, when there's things that... that hit your heart, it's appropriate to go before God and to go before God with others who know him and love him. And as they go, the mystery, it says in verse 19, then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. The revelation after Daniel and his friends prayed is God tells Daniel the dream and its meaning. And then they go through a time of rejoicing. You see, when they hear about, in verses 20 through 23, when they hear about what the vision and the dream and its interpretation, their response in those four verses, is to rejoice before God because they've heard. And so they're rejoicing. And we'll pick it up a little later in verse 25. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king. Because Daniel had asked him, we need to see the king. We need to go and see him. And God has revealed some things, and we need to have a meeting with the king. Arioch is excited. And so he brings him in before the king in haste and said thus to him, I have found among these exiles from Judah a man who will make known to the king the interpretation. The king declared to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dreams that I have seen and its interpretation? And here's the big reveal. Daniel answered the king and said, no. I love that. I wonder what you're thinking as he hears the first word no in that sentence. Arioch, who's brought this guy to the king. He's come in haste. Remember, he's getting there and he's getting him, and he doesn't know what fully to expect, but he's trusting Daniel, and Daniel starts out with no. Can you tell me the interpretation? No. No wise men, enchanters, magicians, or astrologers can show to the king the mysteries that the king has asked. None of us can, he's saying. None of us can reveal any of this. And Arioch's freaking out because he's thinking, what have I done? I trusted Daniel and he can't enter. And he's saying, no one can? I might be included with Daniel on the consequences of this. But Daniel continued, "But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days." Guys, I love that right at the beginning, Daniel doesn't take anything, any of the glory, away from God. Because he knew he was undone unless God stepped in. And when God answers prayers, I want to encourage us, let's be quick to share the testimony that God blesses us with in our lives. And remember that all the glory goes to God. None of it belongs with us. And here's Daniel. And he's giving God the glory. But there's a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. And it is a mystery. And he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. So the king, who's been troubled with these dreams, he gets to hear. Verse 31, Daniel reveals it. "You saw, O king, and behold, a great image. This image, mighty and of exceeding brightness, stood before you, and its appearance was frightening." This giant statue, this giant image. "The head of this image was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its middle and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. As you looked, a stone was cut out by no human hand, and it struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them into pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, the gold, all together were broken into pieces, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away so that no trace of them could be found. But the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." That's a pretty specific thing that Daniel does here. He goes specifically. And the king's there, and the king knows his dream. I was reading a number of commentators, and they were saying that the king was asking for the interpretation of the dream and the dream itself because he didn't remember the dream. The king remembered the dream. And he's trying to find out, is there anyone here who's for real? Is there anyone here who can tell me truth? And Daniel gives this very specific dream that the king has had. And then, and the dream was this. The statue that the king saw was a huge statue with a gold head and a silver chest and arms, bronze belly and thighs, and iron legs, and feet that are a combination of iron and clay. And then so there's the statue made out of that, and then there's the stone, a massive rock that was cut from a mountain by supernatural means, and it struck the feet of the iron and clay, smashing them to bits so that it collapsed and was in complete destruction. And then Daniel gives the interpretation of the dream. Of the statue, he says, it represents the four successive powers, world powers, Gentile powers, that will follow his Babylon, which is the gold head, and then Persia, and then Greece, and then in the iron and the clay and the feet and the mix, we have of Rome, which is the iron, and iron is strong, but as it's mixed with clay, it's weak. And one of the things we see there is when Rome came in, it just, at the beginning, it just took over. And it was powerful. But as it continued, and as it got closer to the time of Christ, as they were conquering, they stopped having the people come in and learn the culture and learn the language. And instead, the people kept to themselves and kept their language and were divided amongst themselves and were iron and clay. And it was a country divided. It was a power that was divided amongst itself. And then this stone comes in, and it represents God's kingdom, which would someday destroy this pagan power and bring in the kingdom of God. And this stone, it comes and it's cut out, and it starts out as a small stone, and then what does it become? The mountain. And then it fills and it gets greater and greater. And we'll get to the stone in a minute. There's one more thing I want to say about, there's one more thing I want to say about the stone. The kingdom of God on earth. In Luke 17, 20 and 21, it says this. Once, having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is.'" And here's the mystery revealed. Because the kingdom of God is within you. The Pharisees were looking for an earthly kingdom that would overthrow the Roman Empire. But Jesus reveals the mystery. The kingdom is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. Think about that. This kingdom is different than man's kingdom. The kingdom of God is within us. And Colossians 1:25 through 27 gives it a little bit more revelation, understanding. "I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." You see, this rock that comes, it says Christ, and Christ comes, and he comes in a very humble way. This stone. But the stone becomes a mountain and takes and becomes all. And this mystery is the kingdom of God is now the rule at rule in our hearts. The rule of Christ in our hearts. The mystery and miracle of Christianity is that the Spirit of Christ actually dwells in his people. Guys, this is unbelievable. That's the mystery being made known that was talked about in Daniel 2 that will be revealed later, talked about in different ways later on in Scripture and Old Testament, and then Christ reveals. Christ reveals. Christianity is not, hey, keep the Ten Commandments. All ten. Have a good philosophy in life. It's not figure it out. Be a good person, do good things. It's not a religion built on keeping rules. Christianity is the miracle of a changed heart before God. Christ in us, a personal relationship with the living God. I love that. So Daniel reveals what the dream is. He reveals the interpretation of the dream. And the king is taken back. Have you ever seen somebody come into the presence who's not in the Lord, but they hit head on with seeing the power of God, and their first response is, wow. And so they kind of are doing this, kind of inching forward, looking at it, surveying it, getting comfortable with this new thought, this new truth. And then the push comes and they step away. We've got the king here, and we see in verses 46 through 49 his response. Daniel has revealed the dream, revealed the interpretation, and it says, "Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and paid homage to God." No, it says, "Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and paid homage to Daniel." He focused on the man bringing the message, he focused on the ambassador, not the king that the ambassador represented. Paid homage to Daniel and commanded that an offering and incense be offered up to him. The king missed it. The king answered and said to Daniel, "Truly, your God is God of gods and Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries." Do you see how close he's getting? Your God are these truths, but who is he lifting up? Daniel. And so he's close. Guys, when we reveal truth, sometimes people will walk close to the truth. They'll get the ideas of, "I understand, I want to be a good person, I want to do what's right, I want the blessings that come from being obedient," but there's a lack of connection with God, of God in me, of a commitment of giving my life to him. It's not enough to know of God, to know about God. Christ must be in us through relationship, through us deciding to follow Jesus, receiving what God has done. "Truly, your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you have been able to reveal this mystery." Then the king gave Daniel high honors and many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. Daniel made a request of the king, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel remained at the king's court. Whew, man. And guys, what's really cool too is the story doesn't end there. I love this. I mean, we've got a serious, the elevation, and amazed Nebuchadnezzar worships Daniel and appoints him to be ruler over the entire province of Babylon, as well as chief over all his wise men. These wise men, now guys, there are a lot of people who get into the dark arts, who get into things. Why? Because they want to know what? Truth. And they seek it in the wrong place. They want to know power, and they seek it in the wrong place. And here you have all these men who are in the courts of the king, who have all these different ways to try and find truth. And here, what's Daniel put as the head of? Over all of them. And so these wise men pass down the prophecies of Daniel. And as they pass down these prophecies, we can rejoice that these wise men's descendants were, guess who? The Magi. Their descendants were the Magi who came to Bethlehem with gifts to worship the Jesus, the Messiah, the King of Kings. You see, they had had false ways of trying to get power and truth and knowledge, and they missed it. And when push came to shove, they were powerless. And here, look at this. Look at what it says in Matthew 2, 10 and 11. "When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, incense, and myrrh." You see, the descendants of these wise men who weren't so wise then had Daniel over them. And in their teachings, real wisdom came in. Daniel blessed not only the people of that day, but generations later. Those who were wise, who had been taught, who were seeking truth, the very descendants of these, the Magi themselves. We call it the three wise men. It was three gifts. It wasn't three wise men. It was probably over 100 wise men. But it's the three gifts that come. That's why we got the three kings, is from the three gifts. But those who are, they come and they're looking because they know what's coming. Why? Well, let's think about it. Remember, we know from prophecy from Daniel that during Babylon, the Messiah wasn't coming. The Messiah wasn't coming then. How about the Persian Empire, which followed that? No, wasn't coming then. The Messiah, he wasn't coming then. Well, how about the next? When Greece took on? No, that's the third one. And then, who's the fourth? Rome. And as Rome hits, and it hits powerful, now, what are the wise men of the time? They're looking, and they're looking. And time takes place, and then they struggle. And it's the broken clay and iron together. And here comes the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And everything, all kingdoms are broken. And Jesus says, I am the King of kings and the Lord of lords. All those other kingdoms are for naught. I'm the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And we get to decide, because he's not going to force this. Do we choose to follow the one true king? Or do we stand back? Do we have a heart of Nebuchadnezzar? And say, I want to know about this God. Guys, it's not enough to be at church knowing about God. Yeah, well, I don't just come on Sundays. I also go to the Bible study. It's not enough. You could be here 7 days a week. It's not enough. You can be out in the parking lot when no one else is here. Being dutiful, being committed, doing what's right. We can have the heart of Nebuchadnezzar, worshiping the wrong thing, worshiping the religion, worshiping the power, but not seeing the truth of who is the Messiah, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Guys, what a beautiful picture for us. And what a reminder that as God works, he doesn't just work in our one situation that we're in. Sometimes we're so focused on ourselves and me and mine that how is God moving with just here? And sometimes it's so focused right here. And guys, I promise you, if we get lost here, whether things go the way we want or don't, there will be unhappiness. There will be a lack of peace and joy. Why? Because I'm so focused, me and how God affects me and how God affects the people that are important to me. And if that's important that it's a part of it, because it's part of our lives. But if that's our focus, rather than our focus on God, not what God does for me, do you notice the difference? One is God. The other is, God, I need this. I want this. I need this. And guys, one is so self-absorbed that it's just creating, even for the believer, an atmosphere of unpeace and a lack of joy. But when our focus is on God, and regardless of what's happening, yes, we're dealing with God with the immediate. And of course, we have to do that. And that's where we pray and we go and we find our friends like Daniel did. We said, we need to pray.
But they don't get stuck with that one place. Because the focus is what God is doing, more than that of who God is. And as we understand from the revelation that the kingdom of God is not this thing that the Jewish people were waiting for the Messiah, and they thought they were going to get, because they knew it was the fourth. This is the one. And this rule, this leader, this king's going to deliver us from Rome. And they were thinking so small. This king's going to deliver me from my problems. No, this king is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's come to give life and give it to the full. It's more than just the problems of the moment coming before. It's, God, you are awesome. You meet where you are in me. You are a part of me. You have changed me from the inside out. I have an identity in you. And it's good news, guys. It's good news. Because the focus doesn't have to be on us and on our problems. Our focus gets to be on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. My heart and prayer is that wherever you're at, some of you are in a place of rejoicing. You've gotten the word from God, and so you're like Daniel and his friends celebrating, and you're in that place in life. Many of you are in the place of you've just been told, there's a problem, and it's big. It's a God-sized problem. And as we go down together on our knees and worship God and focus on Him, He will lead us through the storm. He will be our rock. And that rock will become a mountain. And that mountain will take over. And God is coming back for His people. And He will reign. And there will be no more, think about that, no more pain. No more suffering, no more junk, no more lies. That'll be sweet. Amen. I can't wait. It seems like the older I get, the more excited I get about the second coming, about Christ coming back. I used to think, oh, I want to wait for this to happen and that to happen. Come now, please. Come. Please. It's good. Guys, let's turn to God. Hand in hand. In prayer. And worship Him. In whatever we're going through, let's get our eyes off of our situation and worship Him. That's where the focus needs to be. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you so much that your word is so applicable to today, so alive. Lord, there are so many lies out there that are bidding for our attention, that are asking for us to follow those truths rather than you, Lord. Those philosophies, those ideas, those man-made ideas that are empty. Even the good ones are empty apart from you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So, Father, we ask for your blessing. We thank you that you move for a purpose, that your story is continuing, that there's a reason that we're going through, just like Daniel went through this and it affected generations to come. The things that we go through matter, and don't just matter for us, God, but they matter for those who come after us, those who are beside us. They matter. And you are weaving all the pieces together bringing them all together to create the beautiful tapestry, Lord, of history. We ask for your blessing. But most of all, we thank you that you are God, that you are holy and you are good, and that you are in us by faith in Christ Jesus. For your glory, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, guys.